Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2. Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Home hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart in and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. Welcome to another episode. We've had a little bit of time, a little breathing room from the Yankees-Red Sox series. I've tried to keep a little bit of distance between you and me.
Yankees fans need oxygen, not breathing room.
Well, either way, I think what we'll do today is we'll do a little bit of analysis of the series and then talk about what things look like moving forward. I don't know if you want to go. I mean, you guys got you got swept. The third game was, you know, questionable. With the calls that Nevin and the other dude got tossed on. So
Nevin, who's not even like supposed to be,
he just came back from COVID.
Yeah, he lost like 20 pounds, and then he's getting thrown out. I mean, everybody deserved to get thrown out of that game. I would have went nuts. I mean, it's just that was awful.
It was a bad call.
So, like, in my opinion, that's the Yankee season right there. That play, you know, you got Rougned Odor, right? Playing second base for you, right? That's laughable enough as it is. And then you get him up in that situation, and then that pitch, and then you're out. Like, that's like your whole season right there in a nutshell.
So it's bad, and it's bad luck.
Yeah, it's awful. It's awful. Like, you know, if I was to open the show, I'd say I'm John Senecal, yet frustrated, embarrassed, downright angry Yankees fan.
So here's the funny thing. You know, I watched a lot of baseball, and I realized whenever the Red Sox are good, they're still, even though they're adults, they still look at them as kids. They seem to get along.
Yeah, they all look like they're just playing.
A sense of joy, like when they mic'd up Verdugo, and I think it was great for everybody, and me too. Like, I think he obviously played up for the camera a little bit,
right?
But he obviously is a guy who enjoys being out there, has a little joy to vive. And then you go to the other side, and the Yankees look
stoic,
lifeless, and there's no joy, and there's no fun. And I know it's multi-million dollars, and everyone gets all this money.
Yeah, but it's a game. It's a game.
And ultimately, if you're not having fun doing it 162 times, it shows.
What did their most famous player in the last 30 years say? He was going to retire when the game wasn't fun anymore. That's Derek Jeter. Right.
Said that? I didn't know.
Yeah.
Said that.
And how? Who else? Like, would you gauge the sport by if you're a baseball fan of how you should play it as a player?
So that was my takeaway: is that the Yankees played with zero joy, and
zero.
I'm not saying the Red Sox are like, you know, perfect and all full of like laughter and happiness, but there's no doubt that there's a little bit more camaraderie and a little bit more joy. And to me, that makes a difference because on paper, that sort of the Yankees are better. And then we talked about off camera about what sort of, you know, what sums, you talk about it sums up the season. I think like even having like Brett Gardner come up in a tight spot, like,
right,
what is this? Well, at this point, even 2014,
they pinch hit Giancarlo Stanton the other day, and like, if you're a Yankees fan right now, there is nobody that expected him to do anything in that situation. Absolutely nothing. I mean, the guy has been atrocious since he's coming off the IL. What the hell happened to him, Brian?
I don't know.
I mean, he was literally like the best hitter in baseball.
Was strafing the ball.
Ball, like everywhere. And then all of a sudden, he goes on the IL, and it's like, he what happened? He literally looks like he belongs in Double A. He doesn't have any clue what pitch is coming. He has no clue if he should swing or not. And then when he does swing, it literally looks like he's like one of the worst kids on the Little League team.
Baseball's so rough in that sense. But you're right. I mean, before he went on the injured list, he was the best hitter. He was.
How does that happen, though? Like, okay, so you'll sit there. I mean, you won't sit there, but Boone will sit there and he'll say, everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's fine. Stay the course, stay the course, stay the course. But everything's not fine because you're not playing good. If you were fine, you'd be playing good. I don't care if you're Giancarlo Stanton and you're past your prime, quotation marks for the people listening, right? You should not be hitting this bad, period. So something's got to be wrong with him. So everything's not fine with him.
So, I mean, you have to ask the question now. You know, I was just trying to dial up some Stanton stats here in terms of, you know, game log type stuff.
It's awful.
I mean, you have to let a guy like that play through it, right? I mean, so against the Sox, 0 for 1, 0 for 4, 1 for 3. You know, before that, you know,
put a lot of strikeouts, 1 for 3, like 13 0 for 1, strikeouts 0
for 4,
or something.
0 for 3, 0 for 5.
And lots of strikeouts.
1 for 4, 0 for 4. I mean, he hasn't had a multi-hit game since May 5th.
Right. Over a month. And then we spent, you know, time on the IL, but like,
right.
I don't know. To talk to your point about the multi-million dollar contract, yes, you got to let him play through it. But then you look at players, you know, like Sanchez, Frazier, Gardner. What are you going to do about those guys? Like you said just a minute ago, you got Brett Gardner coming up. Nobody's afraid of Brett Gardner.
They're hitting .228 as a team.
Dude, they're 27th in baseball in runs scored per game.
So the question
they strike out 9 times on average a game.
But are you wondering if this is what they are? Because if this is what
they are,
obviously
this is what they are.
They're obviously not going to make the playoffs because, you know, they're not even in third place. You know what I mean? I mean, Toronto's even inched ahead of them. And then, you know, when it comes to Toronto, they're not even in the mix, you know, potentially for the wild card.
And you're not going to out-hit Toronto right now, that's for sure. They're raking without Springer.
George Springer's not even there. So when I looked at that series, I just, every time, like, it's funny, when I see Stanton and I see Judge, I feel like, because I don't see them every day like you do, I feel like every time they're up, they're going to hit the ball to the moon. Yeah, they just look
Judge
like
Judge has been
shit.
Playing good, though. He has been playing, for Yankee standards, he's been playing good. For baseball standards, he's been playing good. But, I mean, he is clearly the shining light on this team.
So put your Brian Cashman hat on. Let's just get inside this for a second. Because say you needed to not blow it up, but say you're like, this is what the team is, mm-hmm. and you have to make moves.
So
do you make a big move? Or are you going to incremental me again?
Well, here's the deal. I mean, you're going to have to give up a lot to get anybody right now because they know you're the Yankees. You need it. And anybody that has anybody to give is going to fleece any team anyways, but the Yankees are going to get fleeced even more because they need it more.
Once a team gives up, then they're going to want to take a salary. They're going to dump a salary for prospects. So, I mean, you can have a good player in about a month
right.
from a crappy team if you want to pay for it.
Right. So you take a guy like Ketel Marte, right, that everyone's talking about right. would be a great trade trip. But he's got 2 more years of control. They're not just going to give that guy away. And the Yankees' philosophy in the past is we're not going to give up any of our big prospects, Devy Garcia. You know, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. Well, they're going to have to do it, right, to get a guy like that with 2 years control. Or, in my opinion, you go someone like try to pry Trey Turner away from Washington, and you only got him till the end of the year, and he's a free agent. But you know what? You put him at shortstop. You throw Torres back to second. You keep DJ at first. You cut bait on Voit if he's going to keep getting hurt. The problems that are happening right now, just forget about them, right? You know what I mean? Like, if Voit is hurt, X him out of the equation right now. Put DJ at first. Get rid of Odor. I mean, great. Odor is a left-handed bat, but if you can get... I mean, Turner's not a left-handed bat. You need a left-handed bat, but Odor is not your left-handed bat you need. The Yankees have no left-handers. So
he's John Sedicall. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. We're sort of doing a triage on the Yankees. I do want to point out, though, is that the Yankees were in a spot similar to this early in the season.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not forget where they were. And so, and then they snapped back hard, and then we're like, okay. And then 2 weeks ago, we're saying that they're probably going to be in first place by the time they get the Red Sox. And now you're talking like...
But you also got to remember, the same players that haven't performed. Like, the guys that are supposed to be hitting it Frazier, who's supposed to be playing but good by now. Sanchez, who's played a little bit better as of late, still isn't. Gardner is, I mean, that is a guy you could probably just release.
It's his last year in probate.
Right.
Unless he wants to go to some, you know, horrible team and just...
Or Japan or something.
Something. But I mean, he's not going to be a starter in Major League Baseball ever again.
And Torres is a shell of himself. 3 home runs on the season. DJ is 100 points lower. Like, everybody but Judge is just totally off their game. Totally off their game.
Okay, we need to wrap this up, though, because you're telling me you don't think there's a trade to be made. You don't want to give up any prospects.
Well, I mean,
about somebody on that, of the maybe the top 12 position players, would you eat salary to move Stanton? Would you eat salary to...
Right, but nobody's going to take Stanton right now.
It depends on how much you'd eat and where you'd trade it.
But they're not going to eat the salary because that's what they've been complaining about all along. They don't want to go over the threshold. So if you're just eating salary, I mean, what are you going to add?
Right.
You know what I mean?
So no big moves like that. So then where are you?
You got to keep playing Stanton, or are you going to have to decide that he's hurt and DL him or IL him, whatever you want to call it now, and leave him on there? And you're going to have to figure out what you're going to do with Frazier. I mean, you cannot keep this guy playing. He's not just because he makes a good catch every 3 games in the outfield doesn't mean he can keep playing.
I'm sick of talking about him.
I'm tired about it.
I really think that in 2 weeks we might be the opposite. But right now, what I saw over that weekend against the Red Sox, I saw a team that was not going anywhere.
And you can't fire the general manager in the beginning of the season. That just throws you just sink in the ship. You throw up the white flag. Can you fire Boone? If you're still in the situation at the All-Star break, Boone's going to get fired.
Because the fans, like us, are
going to be calling for someone's head. You're going to have to do something.
I have not. Listen, 2003 aside, I don't really have a problem with Boone. I do think that if you fire Boone, you're giving up on the season, in my opinion.
Boone or Cashman?
No, Boone. Because GM's about strategy. Sure, this
but
is about
he constructed
trade
the team,
right,
Cashman.
But the team's already, my point is the team's already constructed.
Right, it's not so Boone's fault.
But the point is that the team's already constructed. You're really not going to be demonstrably changing the team. So you fire the GM, you're just making a sort of a symbolic move. You fire the GM in advance of an offseason where you make big moves. You fire the manager, you're not going to bring in anybody who's going to command that space more than the manager who was there, because it's not like the guys hate him. And so you're basically saying our expectations for the year are done.
Yeah, it sucks because you can never really bring anybody in the middle of the season anyways.
That's my point, that it basically, if you fire the manager, you're saying that my expectations for the season are gone.
So what do you do then? I mean, if they keep playing like this, they're gonna have to do something. I've been a Yankee fan long enough to know that they're not gonna go the whole season and just say screw it. We suck. They're not gonna do it. They just won't. Especially nowadays when everything's under such a microscope. I mean, you might be able to crawl under a rock 30 years ago, but when the expectations are this high and everybody's making $30 million or whatever,
right? I think if they go into the July 4th weekend and they're not closer than they are now,
you at least have to start sitting these players. I would be sitting them already.
Yeah, you know, then,
or start
but then
thinking
you get guys. See, I, just in, you know from Bobby Dickerson, I know from Rico Bronya, and just watching that, if a guy goes 0-4 and then sits, the next at bat, people think because they have 500 at bats a year, at bat's going to be so pressure riddled, and then everyone's just going to snowball.
It's all mental.
And Boone knows that. That's why he does this with these guys, because he knows that the physical side's tough enough, and if you start messing with their heads, they put too much pressure on themselves, they're gonna implode. And so I think the bottom line is that I think they have 3 weeks to right the ship, and I know I might have prematurely written them off earlier in the season. I think they're done, and it's not so much because of them, is that they would have too much ground to make up.
Yeah.
Because I don't see. Listen, I think the Red Sox are playing better than what they are, and I'd like to talk. Can we talk about the stupid Sox for 5 minutes?
Yeah. Let's talk about them.
It's about both teams.
I know. I want to talk about them too, but I mean,
I think they're playing a
when
little.
When you're playing good, I mean, why, you know, don't talk to the pitcher during the no hitter.
They're a little over their heads. But I don't know if Tampa can sustain it. And I think Toronto's going to end up... I think Toronto's going to finish very strong. Not just George Springer's going to get back, but between Bichette and Vlad Jr.
I don't think they have the pitching, though.
I know, but there's something about the team that's really fun, and I think that they're going to stick around. But the thing with the Red Sox, I don't know, you asked me off camera, like, where do they fill the holes? I mean, I think that if Sale comes back and can be a pitcher, I think they don't necessarily have to add another starter. And so then where you need a bat, their weakness is like most teams. You know, 7, 8, 9, they still struggle, even though the players in those spots are decent. And so I think another bat, and it doesn't have to be like a power bat. And then obviously no one can have enough relief pitching. You know, I think Matt Barnes, I'm not saying I'm sold on him as a closer, but he hasn't shown me that he's not a closer.
Ride him until he can't do it.
So that's why I think they'll do some like a bullpen help and a bat, but not a top six bat. Somebody who's probably a starter on a Cincinnati type team or whatever, and put them in the 6, 7, 8, 9 hole.
I mean, it's early. I mean, there's no reason to panic in Boston.
No, there's no panic, but I mean, it's not that early. I mean, but no. If you're going to make a run, I mean, this is ahead of schedule for the Sox, and I don't think they're not a 95 win team in my book. They're not I just don't see it that way. But when I look at the team now, I like them.
They got a good energy, man. They really do. They got, like you said, it looks like they're just a bunch of friends playing together.
So I want to bring up one other point before we go, because this is something, because my son, Max, he's become a big Boston sports fan. And so when the Celtics were still in the playoffs and the Bruins are, you know, maybe gone, but we would go from the Bruins to the Red Sox or the Celtics from the Red Sox. So like it was halftime, we'd watch the Red Sox.
Right.
It was the end of the period, we'd watch the Red Sox, mainly because, you know, playoff sports is a little more exciting. And I will tell you, like, it's such a hard downshift to go from playoff hockey to
back
baseball.
To baseball. I know.
It is really almost jarring. And I like it sometimes because it slows it down, but I will say there's times where it's just really, really slow. And there are parts of that Yankee-Red Sox series that were really,
yeah,
excruciatingly, boring.
Boring. Yep.
And I was a little troubled. You know, my son still watched it mainly because my wife and I were like, let's put on the Red Sox. And he loves baseball. But it was one of those things we talk all about, how engaging the game is or isn't. But I was struck. It was almost like a case study. Like, we watched hockey, then we watched baseball. We watched basketball, then we watched baseball. And I was like, wow, this is really, really
cool. So that's funny you bring that up, because yesterday we were sitting on the couch and we were watching Bobby Dickerson's son play baseball for Southern Mississippi. They were in the super regionals.
Is he good? Is he like?
Yeah, he actually hit a home run. He had a double. He did good. He did all right in the series. I mean, he wasn't like the standout guy, but they lost to Ole Miss. He's technically a sophomore, but I guess he has extra year of eligibility.
Is he draftable?
So he'll be draftable, I would think. Yeah, I mean, especially with the name and stuff and Bobby's connections, I'm sure he'll get in there. I mean, as long as he keeps playing the way he is. He's starting freshman at University of Southern Mississippi, you know, number 22 team in the country. So.
But
we're watching that, and then we're flipping back. We're watching some baseball, and we're also watching Islanders Bruins. Right? Was it Islanders Bruins?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And our friend is the trainer for the Islanders.
Get out.
Yeah. So we were watching it. And, you know, when I say watching it, like, I'm watching it. But, you know, like, the kids are on the couch. They got their devices. Right, they're kind of watching it. And baseball is, like you said, not as engaging. But I looked over, and my son Jackson, who's 15, is sitting there. And he's, like, kind of glued to the hockey. And then, like, I didn't say anything. And then, like, about a minute or two later, he goes, wow, man, he's like, this is really exciting. I mean, this is like fast-paced stuff. And I'm like, yeah, hockey's exciting. I'm like, playoff hockey's even more exciting. But it's funny that you said that, because it's just like, it's so much more engaging, so much more speed. And hence, youth sports, more lacrosse, less baseball.
Yeah, and it's a totally, you know, engrossing visual experience. And it shows me, like, you're in a baseball mood or you're not. Like, to me, like, I always think of my wife, like, when she's watching the Red Sox, like, she's correcting papers.
Right.
Watching the Red Sox.
Right.
You know, that's
you can't
sort
correct
of like,
papers and watch hockey.
No, you cannot. And I think it speaks to how great playoff hockey is. And we're not going to get into a conversation of what changes need to be made in baseball. We've had that conversation many times. I just wanted to share, like, sort of like the market.
Yeah, well, it's
experience.
True. I mean, case study.
Yeah, it was really interesting. So, anyway, any last thoughts on what's to look ahead for? Anything you didn't get in that you wanted to talk about?
I mean, the Yankees are limping into Minnesota, who are awful right now. So they're going to face J.A. Happ and Michael Pineda right out the gates. So we'll see what happens. I mean, as a Yankee fan, like, it looks bleak, but you got to believe, right? I mean, it is what it is. So hopefully they play better and hopefully they figure it out. I mean, they need to make changes. They have to. Frazier and Gardner cannot be playing. They got to figure that out.
Do you have plans to go?
We're going to go. We'll go eventually. We got to get the Little League situation figured out. We got the playoffs and All-Stars and all that. Once that's all done, and the summer starts to open up, we'll figure something out.
So no specific plans?
Not yet. Yeah. We'll go.
All right. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. Thanks for listening and for watching wherever you're doing it. YouTube for the viewers, wherever you're enjoying the podcast. But we're available Apple, Spotify. You always tell me which ones I miss.
I heard.
iHeart, and we'll see you next time on Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.